Friends, as always, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, we continue our sermon series on prayer, especially on the Lord's Prayer. Last Sunday, I talked about how Jesus taught his disciples how to pray by giving them a model, an outline, if you will, a pattern as to how we're to pray in our daily lives. I cover then what's commonly known as the introduction to the Lord's Prayer, where we get to be reminded about our God, the creator and sustainer of the universe, about our God who is the creator of all that there is, and about how that God is our Father, our Heavenly Father, like none other. This morning, we're going to address the first petition or the first request of the Lord's Prayer, the first ask of the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Now, you all know what that is? What the first petition of the Lord's Prayer is? You've said it every Sunday here at Our Savior's. Hallowed be thy name. Remember? Now, for many of us, this petition, or any petition, any listing of our requests, any reciting of our asks of God, many of us consider that prayers, and it is. It's rightly so, because our Heavenly Father, God, welcomes and expects our bold requests, our bold petitions. Our Heavenly Father expects and welcomes our prayers, just as any parent welcomes the requests and the asks of their children. And so our first ask, the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name, is what we're focusing on today. Now, just as a quick survey, how many of you know what the word hallow means? Very good. Some of you do. Well, a better question maybe is, how many of you, other than in the Lord's Prayer, use the word hallow in your daily conversation? Not very many. I confess to you, I don't. Now, if you don't readily use the word hallow in your conversation, or if you don't understand what it means, don't feel bad. This word is an ancient, antiquated word, but it's one that we still use. It's one that we still have in our, at least in our Lord's Prayer, because there simply is no other word in the English language that captures the meaning of hallow. There is no other word that we could substitute it for to capture the true essence, the true meaning of this word. Well, what does it mean to hallow? Well, to hallow something is to regard it as holy. Of course, then the question is, what does it mean for something to be holy? Well, it's to treat it as supreme, extra, extra special. That's the closest way we could define it. And this is precisely how God wants us to regard his name. It is holy, and it is supremely special. In fact, it is so important to Jesus that he made it the very first petition in the prayer that he taught his disciples. The very first request that Jesus taught his disciple is to hallow God's name. Now, some of you who went through catechism class, Lutheran catechism, you would recall Martin Luther's explanation of the first petition of the Lord's Prayer as, this is what Martin Luther taught, that God's name is certainly holy in itself. But we pray in this prayer, in this petition, that it may be kept holy among us also. In other words, we don't need to pray for God's name to be holy. It's holy in itself already. And no amount of prayer on our part will make it any holier. God's name is holy in and of itself. But we pray it so that we may honor and cherish God's name in what we say, in what we do, and in how we live our daily lives. So what's in a name? Well, as someone who has a rather unique name in these parts of the world, I'm somewhat hypersensitive about names of people or names of things. I so desire to pronounce someone's name in the way that it is supposed to be pronounced in their respective language. And I try very hard to accommodate that because it's important. You know, every time I watch the news and I hear newscasters and the people say Iran, Iraq, that is disrespectful. It's Iran, Iraq. You don't say Italia, it's Italy. Well, again, I'm super sensitive on names, and so is God. God is as super sensitive about how his name is used. And so, what is God's name? Well, in the third chapter of the book of Exodus, you would read about how God commissioned Moses to go back to Egypt and free the Israelites from slavery. But Moses had his doubts and his fear about this mission. So he asked God, "Suppose I do go to the Israelites in Egypt and say to them, 'The God of your fathers have sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'Well, what is his name? What do I tell the Israelites?'" Moses asked God. God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: I am has sent me to you." Well, there it is. One of the clearest answers as to the name of God: I am. Now, that's a strange name, isn't it? It may be strange, it may be weird to have someone be named I am. But it can tell us quite a bit about God and who he is. For example, why do you suppose God calls himself I am and not I was or I will be? Why do you think God says I am as opposed to I was or I will be? Well, it's because he is in the constant. He is in the eternal state of being in the present. You see, God is not a has been, and God is not a not yet. God simply is. Some of you in Bible studies and Sunday school have heard me say that one of my favorite things to tell atheists is that God does not exist. And the atheist goes, see, you agree with us. I said, no, no. God does not exist. God simply is. For anything to exist, it has to have a purpose. It has to have a reason to exist. God does not need a reason to exist. God simply is. There is a God, and he does not exist. He simply is. That is the significance of God's name as I am. God is, and he always is. In other words, with God, the past and the present and the future are rolled up into what is happening in the present, in the now. So God experiences the past all the way to the very beginning of time, and God at the same time experiences the future all the way to the end of time and experiences both of those realities in the now. Now, I know it's a bit confusing. It's hard to grasp. But that's why God is God and we're not. No matter how intelligent a person may be, understanding how God can experience the past and the future at the same time is humanly impossible. So the question is, what difference ought this, the I am-ness or the is-ness of God, what difference does it make in your life? What difference ought it to make in your daily prayers? Well, it means that God is always at the ready. He's always able to hear from you and as you come to him for help, for praise, for worship, for prayer. God is at the ready and is able to hear from you in the now, whenever you call on his holy name. God will never say, hold on, I haven't caught up to you yet, I'm still in the past. God will not say, well, wait, I'm in the future now, you're behind, I can't hear you. God is always in the now, which means you and I can come to him in our present condition. Now, most of you will recall the second commandments of the Ten Commandments, again from the book of Exodus. In the second commandment, God warns his people to not misuse his name. In fact, God forbids it. God says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless, especially those who misuse his name. This tells us that God's name is very important to him, just as your names are important to you. This tells us that God's name is important to him, and he wants it to be very important to us as well. After all, you have a special connection with God's name. You remember, through Jesus Christ, God adopted you into his family through the waters of the Holy Baptism. You were baptized into the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And now you are a Christian. You carry the name of God with you wherever you go. Now that is an awesome privilege. It is an awesome privilege to be able to be carrying God's name wherever we go. At the same time, it is a terrifying responsibility. You see, for many people around us, the the very first impression they have of God is you and me. The very impression they have of God is us. In fact, what do you suppose people think about God when they look or when they read what you post on Facebook? What impression does this world have of God when they overhear God's children talk the way we do at the mall or at the ball game or at the bar? See, sadly, it's all too easy not to hallow God's name. Especially in this day and age when we are very quick to say, well, I could express myself any way I want because the Constitution guarantees the freedom of expression. It is sad that it's too easy for us not to hallow, not to respect or to consider holy God's name. We don't always regard it as something that is supremely special. We use it to punctuate text messages or accentuate the punchline of jokes. We forget that the world is watching and listening, and the people are drawing conclusions about God based on what we say and what we do. Now, the question, of course, is, do you embody what God tells us about himself in his name? No, of course not. None of us do. But there is someone who did. There's someone who did, and I know you know his name. His name is Yahshua, Jesus. He was compassionate and gracious. He was slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He was faithful to the will of his Father. By the way, do you know what Jesus name means, what Jesus means? It means he saves. That's exactly what he did for you and for me. He was punished so that you could be set free from all your guilt and shame. He was crucified so that you could live in his forgiveness and in his love forever. He even gave his name to you, both to call on and to be called by. And according to Paul and Peter in the New Testament, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For his name means he saves. That is true for you and me. Even when our words and our actions have made it clear that we don't always regard God's name as holy or as supremely special, even when the world looks at us and doesn't see a perfect reflection of our Father in heaven, there's forgiveness for us in his Son, Jesus, whose name literally means salvation. Therefore, we can call on the name of our Lord in prayer and be assured of our salvation. That's why the very first thing that Jesus teaches us in the prayer that he gave his disciples is, "Hallowed be thy name." So how do we do that? How do we hallow God's name? How do we ensure that we treat God's name as something extraordinarily and preciously and supremely holy and special? How do we do that? Well, We do it by glorifying God. Now, the question is, what does it mean to glorify God? What does it mean to glorify anything? Well, to glorify God or to glorify anything is to use that thing for what it was intended to be used. Like a pen. A pen is to be used to write things with. To use a pen for anything else other than that is to not glorify the pen. It is to misuse, abuse the pen. And so the same with God. How do we glorify God? Use God for what God is all about. Your Father, your Helper, your Guide, your Strength, your Power. That is the God that you have. That's what it means to glorify God. So, how do we use God's name so that it is treated as supreme, special, as holy? Well, let's use God's name for that purpose. Use it as we share it to people, with people. Let's shout it from the rooftops through the good news of forgiveness and eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Why? So that we can give glory to God in everything we say and do. So that through us, others may be drawn to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that through you and me, what we do, what we say, people will come to believe in him and receive salvation by calling on his holy name. And so, friends, in this, the Lord's Prayer, in the very first petition, the very first ask, we pray, hallowed be his name. May his name be indeed holy in us and among us as the world looks on and wants to glean the God, our Father, who loves us and who cherishes us. Hallowed be his name. Amen.